Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Rachel Wright. Hope everyone is enjoying the cooler weather today. Looks like we do have some sunshine, but a lot cooler today than it has been in the past. Getting ready for the fall, but the weather is looking like now. I think we have a few more warm days coming. Probably next week to round out the end of September. Just a little bit about me. I am a motivational speaker. I am the owner of Rachel Chats, insurance agent, volunteer, philanthropist, and kidney transplant recipient. First, I'm going to do a recap, as I always do, of last week's diabetic challenge. It was a busy week. Had a lot of programs going on, moving prep. I did not, unfortunately, stay on track with my food diary and my meal prep. That continues to be a challenge every week to remember to log the food I'm eating, to continue to write it down in the logbook. Despite those daily setbacks that I'm having, I do try to keep up with the meal prep. I'm very determined to make this a part of my routine. Obviously, it has not become a habit. I can do a lot better in logging the food and tracking everything in the diary, because I do see there is a difference when I've made food selections and it has not been on my meal plan. I continue to see a change in the glucose level. I continue to see a change in what I'm eating. So the food diary definitely has helped me do that. So I do want to try and stay on track with that. It is a challenge, but it's something that I do want to accomplish. I don't think I need a new plan to keep track of the food diary. Just need to be a little more consistent. I think consistency is very important to creating your goal from something that you're thinking about to an actual habit. I did skip a few meals at lunch. Don't hate me. I did skip a few, and that was just due to a couple of unexpected schedule changes. I managed to keep the glucose level in the normal range, which was amazing, because I thought because I had kind of skipped something, even though I was still on track for dinner, that the level would be a little elevated. It was not, but again, don't make that a part of your habit. Try to stay on track with your eating and with your meals. So I did have some losses this week. I tried not to get too focused on that, just get back on track for the coming weeks and look at next week as being a winning week. I was consistent all week on my schedule, so that was a partial win for taking medications on time, even though I skipped a few lunches, but I got back on track midweek. I did continue to have breakfast between 9 and 10 a.m. I did continue to have lunch between 1 and 2, dinner between 5 and 6, and had a snack break 3 p.m. in between lunch and dinner, and then dinner and the evening glucose level at around 7 p.m. I did see a spike in glucose levels on Monday and Wednesday, and that was due to poor food selections. My portion control was non-existent. I don't even think I paid attention to the items that I had selected for lunch and the items that I had selected for dinner. Obviously, way too much, and that did affect the spike. I got back on my exercise schedule last week, started off with 2 times a week. Actually, on the first day, I was struggling. Everyone, let me tell you, I was struggling. I thought I needed some type of inhaler when I was going that last 10 minutes, but I did make it. Then I'm going to increase next week to 3 times a week and then eventually get back on my schedule of 5 times a week. So 6 more days until the month's over. I want to close out strong to get ready for September, and that is a fresh month. So leave all those August levels behind and start off fresh in September. If anyone has any ideas for my new recipe plan that I'm going to be starting in September, listen to my contact info at the end of the show, and you can send me something on social media. Just post it if you have a glucose-friendly, diabetic-friendly meal that, you know, I can incorporate it into my prep and into the plan, so that would be great. So just listen out for that at the end of the show. Today's show is a little bit different. Normally I select a topic, then I do a discussion about the topic. I've done this, I think, one time before where I took some questions from family and friends about the recovery. So today's topic is going to be a Q&A, Kidney Disease and Me. I have normally given a lot of information on kidney disease. Just thought it might be a little helpful to get your questions on kidney disease. Maybe it's something that I have not touched on. Also provide a more detailed look at my life on the journey. I did have Jen print out the questions, so they are anonymous. Just want everybody to be able to ask whatever they wanted to ask and know that it was confidential. Your name wasn't going to be read out over the radio show. So with that said, let's, you know, jump right in and get to the first question and see what is going on. The first question, how long have you had kidney disease? Okay, great question. I was first diagnosed at the age of 16. I did not need any treatment, dialysis, anything of that nature at that time. My disease was controlled by medication until my kidney function started to deteriorate. And at that time, the doctor said we're getting closer to that window of the first dialysis treatment. I think that has been about 30 years, so 30 years with kidney disease, if that answers the question. Next question, does anyone in your family have kidney disease? That would be a no. I am the lucky one, lucky 8. When I was first diagnosed with kidney disease, I remember my mother went through family history on both sides of my family to see if anyone had suffered kidney disease, any high blood pressure, diabetes, any type of debilitating disease that can bring on kidney disease. There was no one in my family that had any of those diseases. In my immediate family, mother, grandmother, aunts, and uncles, they had never been hospitalized for anything, never been sick with any type of illness except, you know, the normal cold and flu that everyone gets. And they all got yearly physicals on a regular basis. A lot of them were in the military, so they got regular physicals on a yearly basis. Next question. What did your day consist of on kidney dialysis? Wow, that has not been too long ago since I just celebrated in July my 2-year kidney transplant anniversary. Just a little bit about my dialysis schedule. I was on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., which is a 3-hour treatment schedule. My work schedule was Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. So worked an 8-hour day, hour 15 minutes for lunch. I had 30 to 40 minute drive from my work location to dialysis, and I had a 45 minute to 55 minute drive from dialysis home. So my day normally would be getting up at 5 a.m., doing all your morning routine, taking my glucose level, shower, getting dressed. Try to be on the road no later than 7 a.m., just to allow for any traffic conditions, any accidents. Anybody is on 95, 495, 270, you know how that traffic is in the morning. Wouldn't have any breakfast before I left home. Normally would have breakfast at work, get something, you know, before I started my day. And then just my daily work routine until lunch. And again, as I said, I had an hour and 15 for lunch. Come back, then I would work until 5, leave promptly at 5 to be at my dialysis appointment a little bit before 6, just to allow myself a couple of extra minutes to myself before I actually went into the dialysis facility. So my day was not over at 5, even though, keep in mind, I got up at 5 a.m. I got off at work at 5 p.m. My day was still not over. Once at dialysis, I would take my wait, go back to the waiting room, and then I'd wait for nursing staff to call me just to let me know that they were ready for me to come back to the dialysis chair. At that time, they would put a blood pressure cuff on me, do a standing blood pressure, then do a sitting blood pressure, and then begin the process of preparing my arterial graft on my arm for dialysis treatment. The nurse would always ask me if there was any concerns I had, any issues that I had from the last dialysis treatment to the current one. Maybe I'd had, you know, a rash on my arm. You know, did I notice that maybe I had a fever? Just overall general health questions of how I was feeling. They would then review my weight, how much I had gained from previous treatment to the current treatment, and what were the treatment options for that day, which basically consists of how much fluid they were going to remove from your body to be consistent with what your normal dry weight was, your optimal weight after dialysis. So depending on how much I had gained, depending on what my blood pressure was, that all was taken into a consideration on treatment day. I would be put on dialysis machine for 3 hours. I could watch TV. There were like individual TV monitors hooked up to the chair, so you could either do TV, or I normally carried my laptop with me so I could video chat with family and friends. Or at the time, I was either studying for insurance license exam or studying for a class I was taking. So those were normally my options, what I did over the 3-hour treatment until it was complete. I would normally feel just a little groggy, not off balance, but almost like you're tired. Like, you know, you haven't gotten enough sleep maybe, but like a tired feeling. I know I would sit in the waiting room or sit in my car a couple of minutes just to regain my balance before I got on the road. That's one thing I never did was, you know, quickly leave treatment and quickly run to my car and hop in and drive off. Your body needs a chance to adjust to that. So I would normally take my time in that, maybe sit in the car 10 or 15 minutes before I would drive off. And it would generally take me, as I said, 45 to 55 minutes to get home. I would then prepare something for dinner. And then probably around, let's say, 10:30, 10:45, I would probably get in the bed. Now, I generally would sleep through the night. There would be some incident early on where I would get up every night that I had dialysis treatment at like 2 to 3 a.m. just would wake me up. I think early on, I don't know, that was just a mechanism of my body that I could not get comfortable. So I'd say within that lasted for maybe a couple of months where I would just get up. I could go back to sleep, but I would just get up at that time. Normally, I would just get a little bit of water and then go back to bed, but it was like it was an internal clock where I would just get up between those hours. That did eventually stop, and there wasn't any other time that I can remember where I got up in the middle of the day. So, next question. Do you have to take transplant medication for the rest of your life? That would be a yes. I am currently taking, I believe, you know, I don't really think about it. I just kind of pour them out of the bottle and take them. It's 8 medications for the kidney transplant, and all those medications combined together actually keep my kidney running smoothly. So anything that's going to do that, I don't care if it's 8 medications, 10 medications, of course I'm going to be taking those. When I was in the hospital, I was on double those medications, and from the current doses, at least double on that. So definitely when I went home on a lower dose, that was wonderful because I didn't have a lot of the side effects sometimes that people get from these medications. Next question, did you have any medical complications while on dialysis? Okay. Again, that hasn't been too long off. Yes, I did have a few complications while I was on dialysis. I did have an incident early on, actually. I can remember where I almost passed out and was disoriented after a dialysis treatment. I remember the nurse calling my name. I could hear that, but I could not respond. And I remember them giving me some saline solution, which actually helps in bringing your blood pressure back up. And that's what had happened. My blood pressure had gotten too low. And I couldn't recognize anyone. I could not. They asked me where I was. I could not remember where I was. And at that time, the ambulance was called, and they took blood pressure when they got there, asked me a few questions. I felt a little better by the time the ambulance came, but I was still a little disoriented. Like, I could not tell them where I was. So at that time, I was transported by ambulance to a local hospital. And basically, I think the diagnosis was just complications after dialysis treatment due to the low blood pressure. And it did take a while for it to return to normal. Time I was admitted and stayed in the hospital for, well, just overnight. It was just a one-day stay, and then I was released from the hospital. Very scary, especially when you're feeling disoriented and you cannot remember anything. So that's very scary. I did have, I would say, 3 to 4 incidents where my graft that they use for your dialysis treatment did not work. And let me tell you, that is probably my most frustrating moment that I have had while I was on dialysis. I mean, to the point of tears, because what that means is if your graft is not working properly for that day of treatment, you're unable to get treatment. So it's very frustrating when that happens. And I can remember that happening, you know, as I said, 3 to 4 times, and there's really nothing that you can do about it. It just stops working. The graft is the one that I have. Is located on my left upper arm, and basically it's a tubing that they insert in your arm for the connections for dialysis purpose. So it's clogged. It requires immediate surgery. I would normally just call my vascular surgeon, tell him I'm at dialysis. They're not able to give me dialysis treatment. This is what they're telling me. And normally my vascular doctor would then set up an appointment for either the next day or maybe, you know, if it was something where I was having other issues, maybe I had too much fluid or blood pressure was high, maybe they would want me to be admitted to the hospital and then have the procedure. Luckily, I never had to be admitted to the hospital for any of those reasons. It was always an in-and-out surgical procedure, which was great. So what they do is called a declot of your arterial vascular access. And basically, it's like Roto-Rooter for your access. You know, they go in and they unclog it, make sure the tubing is clear, because you do have scar tissue that will build up around that. So they just make sure that's cleared. Local anesthesia, you normally can go home the same day. Normally you cannot drive. They will not do that, because if they give you anesthesia, yeah, you know, that's against the law. You can't be driving with anesthesia. So normally have someone come with you, and they do the procedure at the In-N-Out Surgical Center. And then normally within 3 hours, they'll let you go home and you're good to go. But it is very frustrating when that happens. Next question is, where was your new kidney placed? Okay. My new kidney is on the, left side, the front of the lower abdomen. There is an incision that they make on the side of my abdomen. It's a little bit above my groin area. And how they put the kidney in is they make that incision, they attach blood vessels connected to my iliac artery, which is also on that side, and connect that to the vein, and then also make a connection of the urethra to the bladder. So I'm not going to go into too much more medical explanation on that, because I am not a medical professional. I do play one on TV, but not a medical professional. So, this next question looks like it's actually a follow-up to question 6. Okay. Did you have your old kidneys removed? Okay. No, I did not have my old kidneys removed. They are still back there. They are in the upper quadrant on your back. Left and right side. Actually, if you feel your upper back and go a little bit down, those are where your kidneys are located. So I did not have to have them removed prior to transplant. They're actually just sitting back there, and you know, they're all sleeping. They're not working, and you can still have a transplant without having your original kidneys removed. That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me about that. Next question. How long were you in the hospital? How long was I in the hospital? I was in the hospital 7 days. At day 5, I was ready to leave, because at that point, I was mobile, able to eat a regular diet, and really move around as far as not a lot of discomfort or pain in my kidney incision. So I was able to do a lot more, a lot mobile. So, of course, at that point, you're ready to go. You can move around, not much pain. You don't need a lot of pain medication. So going down the hallways and going to the nurse's station and just circling that same location day after day, by day 5, yes, I was ready to go, but my doctor was not ready to let me go. So at that point, I just had to kind of wait it out and realize it was for the best just to stay those additional 2 days, long 2 days. Next question, how did you choose your transplant center hospital? Okay. When I looked at what hospital I was going to have my transplant at, I looked at a couple of different factors in making my decision. I looked at the reputation of the hospital, the location of the hospital, how long I would actually have to be on a transplant waiting list. Was it far away? Were my family and friends going to have access to get there, access to take me there, access to visit, you know, access to come back for follow-up appointments? And then also, very important to me, was the surgeon's reputation. Yes, there are a lot of transplant surgeons, but the most important thing for me when I look at a doctor, surgeon, any medical provider that is giving me service is the bedside manner. How are they when I meet them? Am I just another number? Do they know my name? Do they know what I do? Are they even concerned about that? That is probably the main thing that I look at. I went with two hospitals, one in this area and one not in this area. I went with MedStar just because of the total reputation of the hospital, and also that I had been referred there previously by my nephrologist, and I had friends that worked there. So my level of comfort, MedStar. And that's where I eventually ended up getting waitlisted and eventually having my transplant. The second hospital that I looked at was not in this area, in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. It was actually in Philadelphia. It was University of Pennsylvania, in downtown Philly. And again, reputation of the hospital, location, also the surgeon's reputation I looked at when selecting that hospital. The only drawback to that hospital, of course, was it was 2 hours away, which meant when I got the call from the transplant center, I would have to drive 2 hours to get there. And then when I had follow-up appointments, it would be 2 hours up, 2 hours back, drive, train. And then any family and friends that wanted to come, again, same thing, 2 hours up and back. So I initially did a workup for that hospital, but over time, I kind of pushed them out, and my main focus was MedStar Hospital, and that is where I eventually had my transplant. Great decision. Everyone's great at MedStar Health. No, they did not sponsor this radio segment. Next question. Oh, okay, so now I guess we're going to do, looks like this next question is about me. What new hobby or current hobby would you get into if time and money weren't a factor? Okay, why does that look like somebody that knows me? Okay, so I would say new hobby would be Formula One racing, love speed, love driving. Anyone that knows me knows that I love to drive. So I do plan to go to Formula One event next year. If anybody's looking to check that out, let me know. Want to see Lewis Hamilton race. So check him out on Facebook. I would say my current hobby, I think a few people might know this answer, motorcycles. Maybe a few people don't know that I have my motorcycle license. I had a motorcycle, a Kawasaki Ninja 250 in lime green. Oh, I love that bike. I did get rid of it when I lived in Chicago because my grandmother saw a very horrific motorcycle accident in downtown Chicago. And from then on, she was convinced that something would happen to me, and I had to give up the bike. It's your grandmother. When your grandmother doesn't give the thumbs up, that's it. You have to go another route. So, yes, I would like to get a motorcycle again or maybe rent one. So that is definitely in the future. Next question. What second language or languages do you want to learn? Okay. Second languages. I would probably say Spanish and French. I'm going to be doing a lot more overseas travel, and I think it would be great to learn the language ahead of time before going over to these countries, and I definitely want to visit my birthplace, Paris, France, and go over there and stay a lot longer than I have. Next question. What is something you want to do at least once? So I talked about new hobby, Formula One racing. I definitely would love to be in a race car. Definitely. Hands down, it's got to be a race car. Formula One, stock car, something like that. So, you know, if anybody knows of that, hit me up on social media. We can go and do that. So this looks like this is the last question. How has your kidney transplant changed your life? Wow. Wow. This question, wow. Intense. The transplant has changed my life because I look more to the future with excitement. I don't look as day to day as I did when I was on dialysis. I would always say, I'm just trying to get through this day. I'm just trying to get through the next day. I didn't really look too far ahead, maybe a week ahead. But I never said, well, what am I going to be doing? No, I never said, what am I going to be doing in 5 years? It was always a day to day. I have stepped out of my comfort zone. I could never imagine that I would be talking on a radio show, hosting my own radio show, doing a video pitch. I never could even imagine that. That has been different. Also, I am a kinder person, where in the past I think I was more angry, not at people, but maybe for my situation, definitely for my situation. How I looked at everything, even though it appeared on the outside that I was unconcerned, laid back internally, I was not happy with some of the things that I was doing. More thankful, more blessed, more giving of myself to others, volunteering more. It has definitely changed in how I go about life. I have gotten a more clearer focus of my purpose in life, what I was put on this earth to do. I did not have that. I had other businesses that I had started, closed, failed, and just moved on. But my life is a little bit different now because I can see ahead. I can see myself doing different things. So definitely the kidney transplant has been a blessing, and I hope that I have continued to be a blessing to others and help others. Appreciate all these questions. thank you to everyone that responded on my social media sites, who called me and said they had a question, who emailed me, who sent it to Jen on the website. Thanks, Jen, for actually printing those out and organizing that and getting it together. If anyone wants to contact me to speak at the event, if you want me to host an event you're having, or there's a business partnership that you want me to consider looking at. And again, as I said earlier, for the recipes, you can send those to me. Post a comment on Facebook at Rachel Wright. Send me Twitter at Rachel Chats. My Instagram at Rachel W. Chats. Put something on my website, www.rachelchats.com, or give me a call, 301-693-7792. Thank you so much for everyone for listening today and sending those questions. That was great change up from my normal show. I will be back next Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Want to, again, thank Jen for organizing. Thank you to Candace George at Entrepreneurs in Power for the continual opportunity to host my own show. It's a great platform. Again, everyone, have a great week. Be right, stay cool, and I will see you next Saturday. Thank you so much. Thank you.